Good morning to our guest as well. Chairperson is struggling to join the meeting. I think we can appoint an acting chairperson members.
Where is Fred? I nominate Fred Tatweki.
Okay, according to the National Assembly rules, if the chairperson is absent or unable to chair the meeting, the committee can elect one of its members to be acting chairperson. Can I request members to nominate?
Comrade Honorable Feki.
Thank you, Ms. Makesini. Any other nomination? With the absence of any other nomination, Mr. Seki, are you taking the position as being acting appointed to act today?
An unusual nomination from the other side. Yes, let's continue. I accept.
Okay, Mr. Seki, you are now the acting chairperson and you have all the powers to chair the meeting. Thank you. You can carry on.
Recording in progress.
Mr. Seki?
Look at the agenda, my sister.
Okay. Can you see the agenda, Mr. Seki?
Yes, I can see it. I'm just getting my eyes. Good morning, members.
Morning,
agenda. When the chairperson comes in, I think it will give the opportunity to talk to us or to take
Hello.
Over.
Hello.
Oh, yes, Chair. We were...
All right. Mr. Chair, you can proceed. Proceed.
Okay, chairperson, thank you. The meeting is officially opened.
Honorable, thank you.
Yes, chairperson, can you hear me? Can members hear me? Kolisa?
Yes,
the order board. Yes.
Okay. Members, you are welcome, and the meeting is officially opened. There is the agenda in front of us. There's no item that says change of the agenda. I assume that we accept the agenda. Let's move to the second item.
I move for the adoption, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. We were at the moment of apologies, Kolisa.
Good morning, Acting Chair. Ms. Tafeni is unable to join the meeting today. Thank you. That's the apology I have today.
Okay, members, there's the apology. We do form a quorum, Kolisa, ne?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Then let's move to the next one. Response by the Western Cape Department of Infrastructure.
My hand is up.
As a hand, Chair.
Okay. Please assist with that hand, Kolisa, because I'm on the one other side. Yes, Member Kumalo.
Thanks. Good morning, colleagues. I did send a message. I think probably maybe it was late. I acknowledge that, but I will need to be excused from the meeting at 11, please.
Thank you, noted. I was still reading that presentation presented during the oversight visit of the province on the 17 and 18 April 2023. Who is there to represent the Western Cape?
Good morning, members. My name is Kamila August. I am the Chief Director responsible for Human Settlement Planning with the Western Cape Department of Infrastructure. We are the branch Human Settlements within the Department of Infrastructure, and I've been asked just to present. Thank you.
Okay, Camilla, can you show your face and introduce your team if you have you are with someone and continue the presentation? Kholiswa, are you having a presentation to show?
Yes, Camilla will be able to share.
Okay, thank you. Good morning again. My apologies. I should have put my video on. We have a team with us. I have our director, Land and Asset Management, Mr. Louis Stewart. We have Brian Denton, who's our director, Subsidy Administration. Our acting director, Planning, Mr. David Ali, is with us. For the Bearder Valley, Mr. Louis Valkomus is here as well. Then we just go through the list. I think from our side, that looks to, and Mr. Benjamin Mkosi, who's our director for strategy, are in the room, chairperson. I'm going to try and share my presentation, if that's okay with you.
Yes, please.
Please just let me know if you can see it.
Yes, it's visible. I hope members can see it as well. Just present it in a...
I'll do that.
Yeah.
Okay. If it's okay, I'll begin. To just give a quick summary, a list of questions was sent to the Department of Infrastructure. And I've tried to just put those questions into a presentation to make it simpler to follow, because the Excel sheet is quite difficult for us to keep different questions that's been answered. I've also tried to just group the questions so that we can get through one topic and then move on to the next one, if everybody's okay with that. So I'll go into it immediately. The questions really relate to the Title V Destination Program, land invasions and vandalism, the updating of informal settlements. We had some general program utilization questions which link to the CRU, block projects, contractor performance, etc. There was a request for some information on the Khayelet bungalows in Neisner. And then the last item would have been the update on Gera Valley petition. I'm going to go through them. The team that's here with me will support if any questions are asked. I may hand over to them, and I hope everybody's good, okay with that. Okay, so let's start with the Title B restoration program. The first question really related to how do we verify Title Bs? What are the challenges in terms of capacity? How are we dealing with that? And then contested Title Bs. So from a verification point of view, we use the deeds office, evidence for ownership. We have a look. Every quarter, there's a defined process. We've got an assistant director who checks the information, a deputy director, and then our director land and asset management will confirm the information and its correctness. We would then reconcile at the end of the quarter for all of the financial for the financial data, and then the evidence is kept online. So we would verify, even though we verify every quarter, we verify it again before the end of the year and before we submit our final evidence. In terms of human resource capacity, there is a massive capacitation gap at the municipalities and within the department to deal with Title Deeds at this point. What we have done is we've put together a Title Deeds operational plan which will hopefully help us unlock the challenges that are currently being experienced in terms of capacity. The first thing we're hoping to do is appoint a program manager, and we're working with the HDA to do that. They have made a resource available for us at the moment who's acting in that capacity to lend us some support. And I'll just show you in the next slide what are the areas we plan on focusing on. We want to consider appointing a professional resource team to support the municipalities. Now, there's massive capacity gaps with small things at the municipalities, and I'll get to a slide which just goes through some of that as well. And then we want to make this a little bit, take this a little bit further and not just focus on title deeds, but also our long outstanding transfers for non-residential properties. So these are the issues that our municipalities are struggling with: vesting, acquisition, base clearance, planning, establishment, township registration, areas that we're hoping support can be given to municipalities in terms of the PRT. A big challenge is monitoring and evaluation as well. So that the information that's coming through from the municipalities to report isn't necessarily in the same format. It isn't necessarily defendable. It's the wrong financial year. There's all kinds of issues with the data. So when we look at what some of the key challenges, these are what we want to focus on. Data cleansing and data gathering. How we get the information, how we clean the information, how we ensure that the information is in the right format, how the information correlates with what's on the HSS. These are massive. And if we just get a handle on data cleansing and data gathering, it's going to minimize the backlog significantly, because we are convinced that there's underreporting happening because the data isn't necessarily being managed in the most efficient way. I've spoken to human resource capacity through the appointment of a program manager. We're looking at the PRT potentially. We're looking at systems and procedures to improve how we manage title deed information, and then hands-on municipal support. So in the Western Cape, there's 7 municipalities that really hold the crux of the backlog. And our plan is to focus the scarce resources that these 7 key municipalities. If we break the back of those municipalities, it will go a massive way to eradicating or lowering the backlog significantly. The last question that came through was in respect of contested title deeds. Now, Legal Services has advised us that the municipalities must institute their own framework, as they are the owners of the properties for contested title deeds. Now, the intended program manager that we hope to appoint, that person will hopefully assist the municipalities to draft a policy framework, and that way begin to support the unlocking of title deed contestations. So if we can move on to the next topic, land invasion and vandalism. There were a number of questions, again, which I put together. It was to what extent our prospective beneficiaries of prevention of land invasions, how we deal with community unrest, theft and vandalism of units, and general security on sites. So for us, we have a specific security service provider. But if there's a land invasion threat, if we get to that point, we would deploy our service provider. In terms of construction sites, we work with different securities within the province, our Department of Community Safety, our City of Cape Town, land response teams. We participate in different committees. So there's committees that meet every day, there's committees that meet every couple of weeks. There's committees that speak to extortion and all of those different things. So the province sits along with our colleagues at Community Safety, our colleagues at the Department of Local Government. We all sit together on these different committees. And then in terms of vandalized units, the intention is always for us to transfer those units as soon as they are completed. We don't want to create a situation where units are able to be vandalized. There are situations that arise, water meters are delayed or something like that. But on the whole, we try to ensure that there's correlation in terms of timelines to prevent theft and vandalism. If a situation does arise, we've got our security service deployment that will then be initiated, and we'll place a security at the site to prevent this from happening. In terms of community unrest, we focus on our community committees. We focus on engagements with the ward councillor. So if there is an issue, we would engage with the ward councillor. We engage with the committee, the community leaders, and the different stakeholders that I've mentioned earlier, who can help support resolving the cause of the unrest. And then we provide feedback as need be. Okay, the next topic that was raised is the UISP, the Upgrading of Informal Settlements Program. There were a couple of questions related to this. Alternative suitable land for decanting. The second question related to additional social services that's required within an informal settlement, like creches or clinics. Is the capacity to implement UISP at the different municipalities? And then how do we ensure understanding? Right. So we have within the Department of Human Settlements a tiny little team, the ISSP team, that support our municipalities in terms of informal settlements. They would then look at plans for informal settlements. They'd look at relocation strategies. They'll look at how we package applications. They'll look at suitability of land. And then look at the different sectoral plans within that municipality and how that contributes toward packaging a suggested solution for an informal settlement. Everything we do is housed in our informal settlement upgrading strategy, and we've got the informal settlement support program, which speaks to that. We meet regularly as stakeholders with municipalities and other sector departments, excuse me, to speak to cohesive, holistic support and response to informal settlements. And this strategy helps us look at prioritization, classification of the different informal settlements, and how we take our responses forward. A big challenge. Everybody knows that an informal settlement is not the easiest housing program that you want, that municipalities are necessarily keen to engage. It's fraught with obstacles, red flags. So there is a challenge to get our stakeholders to commit to implementing upgrading of informal settlements, but we do lend support to all of our municipalities in terms of informal settlement upgrading and through our ISSP programming. We've also now very recently have the ISUPG grant, which is ring-fenced, and specific informal settlement projects have been identified to speak to your ISP. Okay, so how do we ensure better collaborative understanding? And I have mentioned this previously. We host quarterly forums with our different municipalities. We discuss topics and challenges. So issues that could potentially impact informal settlements and potential solutions for potentially planning these things. So it could be we present something on super blocking, or we present some support in terms of what environmental affairs or anything like that, anything that the municipality needs to improve their response to preparing packaging for informal settlement projects. We have regular outreaches. We support the municipalities, all 26 municipalities, in terms of informal settlements, and we engage from a business planning perspective, business planning support perspective, technical support perspective where we can. A question was also raised in terms of food gardens. So it's not a specific mandate for the department, but we do offer support through the ISSP, which I've raised earlier. We use our community action plans and the sustainable livelihood plans, which is now part of the ISUPG program, and speaks specifically to food security and community, or one of the aspects speaks to food security and community food gardening. We can show an example of this. We've started in Sibanye informal settlement in Mutiersburg. Where support was provided to small-scale farmers through the Department of Agriculture, the municipality, and the farmers, surrounding farmers. And a piece of land was being provided, skills was provided, training and equipment, and they were then encouraged to support the growth of food gardens. Okay, so this next section really speaks to the more general questions that were raised. The first one related to mud houses. There's a significant challenge in that the houses are often much bigger than what a government solution can then provide, 80 square meters. We have had challenges. Communities refuse the smaller units because they'd have to sacrifice these bigger units. We need to stick to our norms, standards, and our funding provisions. The question was also if PHP is an option. Yes, PHP is an option. But the challenge is even PHP has got norms and standards that's not necessarily going to enable that household to go from an 80 square meter unit to a 40 square meter unit. The next question was in relation to CRU. Now, the province has got an exemption from the National Department in terms of CRU, reporting to the CRU. There are challenges in the CRU program. In the Western Cape, the cost of a CRU unit can go up to 600,000-700,000 rand per unit. And that relates specifically to where the beneficiary actually earn so little that they can't afford to pay an economic cost recovery rental. So you've got a very expensive unit and people who simply cannot afford to pay to maintain that particular unit. And then you get to points of rental boycotts. There's a figure of 18% rental collection for CRU. And if you consider you spend 700,000 rand a unit, that's a massive issue. It's spending government money without any ability to collect and maintain that asset going forward. So we are engaging, we are committed to the program, we do engage with our municipalities. The City of Cape Town has is looking at the different funding mechanisms and all of those kinds of things in relation to CRU. But as things stand now, the CRU is not a financially sustainable program, given the limited ability of persons housed within those projects to actually pay the required rental. In terms of non-performing contractors, the question was, sorry, I've moved up, my apologies. Let me see if I can get back. I can't, but let me just speak to it then. The question was about how non-performing contractors are managed. So we would manage them in terms of the contract agreements, and with that, we would terminate the contract and then reappoint. The next question that was raised was in terms of block projects. So we've done an analysis on the block projects already, and there is a system in place for us to mitigate or to clean up the information in terms of block projects. Much of it's got to do with adjustments on the HSS. And then, of course, further intervention cannot proceed until we've closed off the projects on the HSS. My presentation seems to be freezing. Okay, there we go. It's moving now. Okay, the next question was municipal procurement processes. Is there support? We do offer support. We practically
Camilla,
yes?
My apology if to interject. I'm not sure your presentation seems to be a policy kind of an approach general. Like on the block project. I think there was a question that said, do you have any block projects and what are you doing with them? So if the manner in which you are responding on all questions, you are responding in a standard form. You are not telling us, yes, indeed, these things exist. This is an example. This is how we responded. Except if you will deal with it at the end or you will wait for a question.
My apologies, Chairperson. This is the way the question was phrased when it came to the province. Are there plans to deal with the draft projects? My colleague, Rob Smith, at the end of it, can give additional information. If that's requested, we can give you a little bit more information. So my apologies if it isn't exactly aimed at where you need us to be, but we can answer those questions. In terms of disability, the question was, are people with disabilities provided with appropriate houses in projects? Yes, they need to declare their disability. Another thing that the province has done in the last financial year is we finalized the policy on disability targeting. What we discovered is that there's a gap in how disabled persons are identified. Somebody with high blood pressure or diabetes would be classified as disabled. There are other disabilities that are relevant, like persons blind, etc. So what we did was we worked with our Department of Social Development to improve how we aim disability targeting to ensure that we prioritize those households with permanent disabilities before we do for people with blood pressure, etc. My apologies again. How do we support women in construction? So we do have this in our APP. We have been monitoring and reporting on women in construction as an indicator. So this is taken into account. The Khayelitsha bungalows, there's been a lot of discussion on the Khayelitsha bungalows in Knysna. There's been two in the last 2 weeks alone. two trips to the Nasna region to speak to this. I'm going to just give some quick information. There's 150 bungalows, all pre-1994. They were through the EEDBS. Some of them were transferred, although not all took ownership. The national minister was in the Southern Cape last week. And yesterday there was another team, the HDA and from the national department with the provincial colleagues in the Nasna area as well to speak to this project. Right, so there were a couple of commitments. The request from the portfolio committees for a detailed report. We can confirm that there's a report due to the national minister on the 26th of May, which will include recommendations, timelines, emergency relocations, alternative land, and a preliminary structural assessment. So we can forward that report as soon as it's completed to the portfolio committee as well. Now the municipality will take a look at the alternative emergency for emergency relocation. Nasna will go to the National Department for Emergency Funding, and they will be supported by the HCA in order to pull that that application together. And then there's been an agreement that a Kali to Nasna Bungalows Steercom will be established with different spheres, and that they will meet on a monthly and quarterly basis, monthly online and then quarterly in Nasna. So I think I'm going to stop there because the update on the Beta Valley presentation was the second item. Chairperson, I know that you said that there were additional questions. Perhaps let's raise them and then we can hand them to the team to respond if more detail is required. Thank you.
Thank you. So the Beta Valley is presented by another person.
Would you like me to continue, Chairperson? I can.
Yes. Let's present all. Let's do all presentations and then
okay.
Follow up with questions.
Okay. The Valley has been presented a couple of times to the committee. So quickly, this is just the background of the application. The new Mandela Square, 652 sites, 1,800 in total. This is the background to the project and the different engagements that have happened. So where we are now is that an NGO was appointed in February, and most of the milestones that have been set for that NGO has been completed. We now have a request for extension by the municipality for the NGO contract, and the items that they're looking at is a toilet and tap layout co-design in terms of North Mandela with St. EPW workers, a UISP application, funds for land acquisition, and then the continuation once the NGO is completed or the work's been completed, how it continues rolling out. A PSC has now been established and a social compact has been signed. Representatives, two from five different areas have each been elected. So these are the North Mandela, Mdawagweni, Aspat, etc. They have now signed the social compact and they've been elected to sit on the PSC in these five areas. There's been a couple of meetings. We've met with the ward councillor. There's been meetings, election of the PSC. The project steering committee has been established. And the social compact has now been signed. GIS analysis has been done and the relocation strategy remains a critical component. It's one of the weaknesses that are flagged that's in the planning report that requires response, as is the availability of health services. So where we are now, this is the proposed project timeline for the different actions that need to take place for this particular project. The PAC, the PID application has been submitted and it now needs to be reviewed internally by the Department of Infrastructure. The project will then need to go to GOF to confirm funding. That's within October. And then, of course, once the project is approved, we'll start releasing funding for the different aspects of the project. The PFR, the feasibility report, would need to be submitted. The implementation report would need to go through. And if you look at the timelines, the PID, we're looking at and the GAF October 2023, and then the period, the feasibility studies will need to be done, which takes us up to about May 2024. The feasibility funding will need to be released. The implementation report needs to be submitted, and then we're looking at construction commencing in March 2026. So this is where we are. The PID has been received in April 2023. It's been assessed by the Department of Infrastructure Planning Team, and a planning report has been prepared, which was signed off on the 18th of May. Like I mentioned earlier, the bulk infrastructure and the relocation and decanting strategy is of concern for the project. The PID will serve in front of the project assessment committee for the department once all the reports and everything are in. And we can assess the project from that basis. It serves before the project assessment committee for funding approval. So I think that's where we are. Chairperson, thank you very much.
Thank you. Kolisa, you will guide me. Is the department part of the meeting, is represented? And the petitioner, I think there was the councillor. The part of the meeting?
No, Chairperson, it's only the department that is supporting today. The councillor, as a petitioner, is not here.
But the national department is also here, represented here.
Yes.
Okay, if they want to comment, please, the department, feel free to raise your hand. Members, let's comment and question. There are the issues raised by the Western Cape Department of Coast and Infrastructure.
And Ms. Makesini, Ms. Kwai, and Mr. Malmaja.
Open my gadget on the hands. Ms. Makesini, Ms. Kwai, Ms. Malmaja. Okay. In that order.
No, can I disrupt the meeting to say, are there no other presentations? Are we going to interact with one presentation? If there are others, why don't we take all and then we interact with them? Just wanted to raise that, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, Kolisa, you can take us to the agenda. Probably we missed something, or you can guide us on what, on the question.
No, for the Western Cape Chairperson, the Western Cape is done with their presentation. Then the other one will be the Harangu one.
Okay, then we'll release the Western Cape, in other words.
Yes.
Okay.
When we're done.
Okay, let's continue. Thank you, Nancy, for bringing that into our attention. Keseni, Nestroy, and
No, thanks, Chairperson. Let me also welcome the presentation of Western Cape. But indeed, what you said earlier, that it sounds as if a policy presentation, they are just giving us a response based on the policies that they are using as a department. But I didn't hear, maybe I missed the response on the issue of asbestos, because they gave us the total number of the asbestos that are having 84,577. But I didn't hear what is the response, when are they planning to remove, whether they are part of their plans, that is there anything that they are doing, are planning to do to remove those asbestos? Any report regarding to that? I didn't hear. Maybe I missed it, Chair. I wanted to check that one on asbestos because I didn't get it. Then the last one is the issue of the Khayelitsha bungalows of the HDA. She responded that the HDA was there even yesterday with the department. What are they doing with the department to make sure they assist the people to change their lives, because the condition of those houses, they are not okay? Is there anything over that they were just doing an oversight to assess so that they can come up with a plan? What are exactly what they were doing in Kali to in those bungalows of 152 in total, HDA and the department? Thanks.
Yeah, Ms. Roy.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, colleagues and the department. Thank you for the presentation and your intervention, Honorable Tseki, was correct for us, because presentation is not responding. It's really not responding. In fact, it's telling us what the municipality and the is doing. It's not saying, why do you do this? Why don't you do this and that and that? Because questions were like that when we were there. Just to get to some. It's a problem to implement the upgrading of informal settlement. It's a problem. You see, we want to hear from the municipality the national standard. It's saying implement the program of the upgrade the informal settlement, and there's budget for that. Now the presentation says it's a problem. It's a problem. Because where we want to hear the targets for the implementation with the budget, because we don't want the problem. It's a problem to have informal settlement. Here is the solution. Implement the solution. Perhaps you need to hear how was that presentation made? What was the question? The issue of garden projects, we raised it when we were there to say you need an intergovernmental relations to have NGOs and other departments, and you appoint the police of government and NGO to deal with the social issues that are related within the community. So I am not getting that well, how you are doing, how you want to do it. The mud houses. This presentation is saying we're not going to address the issue of mud houses. That's what I hear from the presentation. The official is a technical person who must be able to make things happen when the national department that has got a standards, that monitors standards of best practice and better conditions of the people. That is an instruction to remove mud houses. It says a problem. It's a nonsensical issue. They want big houses. Don't. What is your strategy to address issues of mud houses? I couldn't hear that. The blocked projects, what is the strategy to address? Because he's saying that they have a strategy. What is that strategy? What's the strategy to address the issue of blocked projects? Because we want to learn from those municipalities that have got plans, so that we adopt a holistic program to address the issue of block projects. The issue of disability, it's a worrying presentation, because we have a clear dehumanized disability families in Western Cape, whom an upstory house was built for them, and the members of the family who are disabled are sleeping in the sitting area. And the other one who is disabled was taken to sleep in a upstory house for years, to sleep there without coming down, without seeing the sun, without seeing the people. because the others are disabled in the sitting room. The issue that we raised that these people need to be removed within 7 days to a one standing house. There are one standing house there, three standing houses where they should belong to. We are not hearing that response in this presentation. The issue of the bungalows. When are you removing the bungalows? What is your plan? Well, the issue is those bungalows are old, they are falling apart, they are dangerous and risky to those family members, and they are rotting. Housing, we want sustainable houses for those people. When are you dealing with that? There's a project, I forgot just the name, Isabelo, which has got toilets and bathrooms for a perhaps 4-year-old or 10-year-old child, but it's a family bathroom, it's a family toilet.
The one in Worcester, Mr. Frye.
Sorry?
It's the one in Worcester.
Worcester, yes. The question that we were asking, how was the specification of this project approved? Where was NHBRC? Were the communities subjected to approve such houses? The houses are beautiful at the outside. Get inside. The bathrooms are for a 5-year child or a 10-year child. It's a family bathroom. When they get there, they must ask a song. You see? Those are the bathrooms that we saw there. And we're saying the NHBRC must talk to us. How were these projects were done? And how could we change the standard? Because the question is specification. How was it approved by NHBRC? Because those houses are so dehumanizing. They're so dehumanizing. A house that are being built for Africans, if I may use the word, apology chair for your meeting. So this is not responded to, the issues that you raised there. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Excellency.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me shoot straight without wasting much of my words, what I normally do with the presentations. Mine is a straightforward question that needs a straightforward answer. You will understand, Honorable Chair, that we are in winter now. People are longing for houses. They want to be in houses. There's an instruction of dealing with the blocked project. That must automatically translate to whoever is in charge of and blocking this project, know that it means certain families, they are there in the cold. They want to be housed. Now, their strategy here is so silent to an extent that it's not talking of a time frame when to start and finish and we hand over these houses. Instead, it just says there is a system, and this system can't explain itself. So, Chairperson, I will want the presenter to take us into confidence. How best are they going to unblock this project with the time frame and finish so that at the end of the day, this is issue of the past. Thank you, Ms. Fry. You covered me on the issue of those bathrooms. In particular, those bathrooms that they don't necessarily fit the standard of any visit that they are going to do, because we will never want to accept those things, because here in South Africa, we are not in China. People of South Africa are giants, and therefore, how will they pass there? So I'm saying, how are they going to replace those things and ensure that they install approved bathroom by the the NHBRC? Thank you, Chair.
And Dr. Heron.
Thank you, Chair. I may have missed this question being asked already, but with regard to the backlog on the title deeds, the presenter mentioned 7 municipalities, but she didn't mention which 7 those are. So if you can just share that information with us. And then my second question is with regard to contested title deeds. In 2018, the City of Cape Town Council adopted a proposed policy on how to deal with contested title deeds. And this was sent to the Western Cape Provincial Housing or concurrent or agreement that this the proposed way in which to deal with the contested title deeds would be supported by the province. And so perhaps the presenter can just inform us what happened with that policy and that proposed process plan to deal with contested title deeds, which seems to be have been a solution to this problem. But as far as I'm aware, or I'm actually not aware whether the Western Cape Human Settlements Department, as it was called then, ever supported that policy and that process plan. Thank you.
Thank you. I think all hands have been.
Mr. Mpich, Chair.
Okay, Dr. Mpich.
Thank you very much, Chair, and a very good morning to honorable members as well as the Western Cape Department. Just 2 questions, Chair, that I would like to firstly ask. You know, I've sort of been following particularly the matter around informal settlements. And so I just wanted to find out, historically speaking, has there been any challenges in terms of any allocations that have been received from national to the province? And those particular allocations having been received probably to the of the financial year. Has there been any occurrences like that that have taken place that have added to the process of dealing with informal settlements? And then secondly, I just wanted to go to, I think it's slide 11, just in regards to the backyard dwellers aspect. And so I just wanted to understand particularly point 3, which speaks to the 50-50 directive that was issued in August 2019. Just to get some explanation around that and how exactly that the greenfield project, how that exactly would in regards to backyard dwellers. Just wanted to get that. Thank you very much.
Dr. Kumalo, Chair.
Dr. Kumalo.
Thanks, Chair. Good morning again, colleagues, and thanks for the presentation. I just wanted to ask 2 questions as well. Maybe to find out from the province, the Western Cape, I haven't heard of the ISSP teams to support, municipalities, and we find that that's quite a challenge in using in the usage of grants and the projects, whether it's the informal settlement or the USDG. I wanted to find out how effective you are finding that mechanism to try and support the municipalities to deliver on projects. And the second question, I wanted to find out in terms of the land invasions. So we get the plans that you put in place and, worried, or it's worrying across the country that, these land invasions are happening and in some instances stopping projects. And I wanted to find out, and we acknowledge that you are taking steps in trying to deal with those in terms of, putting the security as you presented. But I wanted to find out to what extent do you find the cost for securing these projects where land invasions happen, that it affects the numbers in terms of what you need to actually deliver? Because I presume perhaps my assumption is not correct, but I would assume that the costs for those security come from the actual cost of the project. If not, you know, how do you source those funds? And if the cost for security does come from the cost of the project, if you can just maybe give an idea as to how far it actually impacts on the numbers in terms of what you need to deliver. Thank you, Chairperson.
I assume colleagues, so everyone has spoken.
Yes, Chair.
Drop your hands, colleagues. Yes, I think we can hand over to the department to talk to us. Please note, department, on what we said in terms of generalization. The example I was making is that on the block projects, how many have you quantified them? On the title deeds, have you quantified them? You know, those kind of numbers are very important. And also on the Breda Valley petition, I've seen that you have appointed a PSC, which automatically can translate that you are consulting with the councillor, or the councillor is the leader of that PSC. Can you just confirm that process as well? Thank you. The opportunity is yours to comment.
Chairperson and members, thank you very much for all of the questions. I'm going to just ask some of my colleagues to provide some support. I think let's start with the informal settlements response. My colleague David Ali will respond in terms of that. He'll also speak to the questions raised in terms of the gardens, the food gardens. And he will also respond to the questions raised in terms of the challenges in terms of funding allocations for informal settlements, the effectiveness of the ISST. So, and then he will finish off by giving some information on the Kailetu bungalows, because he's been involved in that aspect. So he'll provide more detail in that regard. The next response we're looking at will come from my colleague Rob Smith, who's responsible for grant management within the province. He'll provide some of the detail in relation to the block project. The next response would be from Roy Stewart. He will give some information in relation to the title deeds, the seven municipalities, question that was raised by Member Heron, and then he will speak to land invasions as well, the cost of the projects that we've so far, and then how that costs are recouped. And then the last response we will look at will be, second last response, in terms of asbestos, the disability funding, the mud houses. Our colleague Brian Denton will provide some information on that. And then in terms of Breda Valley, I will ask Peter Clarkson, who's our regional member, to respond, or if it is not here, we will ask Louis Valcomer to provide some input in that regard. Thank you very much, colleagues. You can go ahead.
Good day, honorable members, honorable chair, members, and colleagues. I'll quickly touch on the effectiveness of the ISST. As previously mentioned in the presentation of Ms. August, it's a seat at the provincial level that we, VASA, sector department, towards intervention in informal settlement. We've seen the uptake from the municipalities in terms of submitting application or follow through the application and being able to adopt all the guidance provided at the platform. In terms of effectiveness as well, all the municipalities that are non-responsive in terms of our processes, we're reaching out to them on a case-by-case basis. So that's what we do in terms of how effective the ISSP team is in terms of reaching out to the municipalities. So we deal with application based on what we receive from the municipality. We sometimes assist the municipality to compile the application and they review it to be able to respond to to funding requests that we have. We've seen movement in Mozambique. We've seen movement in Ghana. We've seen movement in Silvatascloof, and the rest of the municipalities are also following. Breda Valley is one of the case in point that we've provided support, and we've seen application coming through into the department. So in terms of the food gardening, as we mentioned, the ISSP is a transversal approach that brings different departments to action every request from the communities of informal settlement. An example that was made earlier is as a result of our effort reaching out to the Department of Agriculture based on the request from the community in Sibanya, Morrisbeck, informal settlement, which we've lended our support in bringing Department of Agriculture on board to assist them. Many other departments have also been brought on board to assist informal settlement communities based on the need and the request from the municipality. So it's a transversal approach that we adopt in the Western Cape to be able to reach out to informal settlement. In terms of the National Bungalow, there are series of meetings that has happened, and one case in point was yesterday where we discussed on the assessment required. We need technical assessment to be done. We need beneficiary assessment to be done. We need option assessment to be done in terms of land available to move the bungalow, most especially the five that are vulnerable groups into it. As we speak, HDA is on the ground conducting the technical assessment and beneficiary assessment, and also looking at options in terms of land that are available for decanting. The final report that was mentioned earlier will give us a clear guidance and direction of the funds that is required, and also the urgency of the five. What can we do in the interim? So by Friday, the report should be tabled. We should be able to have a clear indication of what we will do as the first phase of the intervention, which relates to the five, and the remaining 145 would also follow in the next phase as soon as the funding becomes available. The national department has committed funding to fund through their emergency housing grants to be able to fund the intervention in the National Bungalow as we speak. So that's what I can report from my side. Thank you, Chair.
Camilla, you'll direct your team.
I will. Thank you, Chairperson. I think the next person to respond will be Rob Smith, who will speak to the block judge. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair and honourable members. Is my voice clear? Can I be heard clearly?
You can, Rob. I can hear you.
Thanks. Just to take us through the block project. So National has given us a list of projects that they've done an analysis to work out which projects haven't received payments for a certain number of years. So we've analyzed that list, and amongst that list, we've found that there's 38 projects that we need to look at closing off or completing. But also amongst that, there are projects such as funding for title deed restoration. We've got 12 projects of that we need to resolve as well. Some of the funding that is outstanding is on planning on projects. There's 20 projects of that. And then there are some EHP projects.
The Center for Affordable Housing. They've got a transactional support unit there. And what they've devised now is a guideline in terms of how to address this matter. This morphs well with the intention of the National Department of Human Settlements as well in terms of Operation Vulindlela, a campaign that they're also launching. So the Center for Affordable Housing colleagues are also present in there to craft a document to assist municipalities. We have engaged one of our municipalities in the Southern Cape, the Hessequa municipality, that is currently also in process of drafting a guideline. It all centers around an legal opinion, the Farlam report that we've received. And what that will do is to unpack the guidelines in which for each of these instances that we've identified what the sticky points are, what the legal procedures would be to follow in that. It basically comes down to each case on its own merits and what the particular circumstances are there. So that document we will formalize with the Department of National Human Settlements as well as the City of Cape Town, and that will serve as a guideline to the rest of the municipalities. That's on the backlog. In terms of land invasion, the member is correct. There was a decision taken at National that the cost to the incurred in specifically in projects, that it be capitalized to those projects. That administrative process has not materialized yet at this stage. We only started, we received that I think about last year, mid last year. So we've just completed now the costing for the past financial year, which was about 160 million. But our fundamental focus is on the actual cost reduction to reduce costs. So post COVID, when we were beset with land invasions and the invasions of projects, our spend was roughly, it was approximately 350 million. We've managed now to reduce that through our interventions to 160 million. And our intention is to further reduce it. As Camilla's indicated, a lot of these units are vacant. We're hoping to fill those units. The majority of the costs associated with projects and the vacant units. So the sooner we fill those units, the better for us, and then our costs will commensurately reduce. There's very little cost that is associated with invasion on vacant land. We have our own response unit that protects our land, and we try and get the security in as quickly as possible, and also to release them as quickly as possible, just to subdue the threat. And then our team then has then the conversations through our stakeholder relations with the interest groups that are invading the properties. So that's a methodology that we are following in terms of the land invasions. The City of Cape Town has, of course, its own structures in which it has sufficient capacity to address that. So our focus is to support the smaller municipalities, and particularly Kievates Kloof, where the threat is quite it comes up often. That's our operations in terms of land invasions, but we are in the process of capitalizing the projects so that funds can return into the grant. But that's an administrative process that we're still currently busy with. I think I've covered the two topics. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Roy. I'm going to hand over to Brian Denton, who's our Director of Project Administration, to respond to the questions raised in terms of the disability qualifications, asbestos in mud houses, and then also the 50-50 backyard question. Thank you.
Hi, good morning, everyone. regarding the disability, firstly, our department has developed provincial guidelines, which feeds into municipal allocation policies, which makes provision for the prioritization of persons regarded as disabled in line with the national directive. Over and above the policy guidelines we put in place, we also monitor the amount of persons that participate and do give the national norms and standard of a house, that being the 45 square meter house, or the necessary additions to a house of persons, depending the severity of the disability. We also entertain applications from a post a project being finalized where a family member of such a household become disabled. We have also entertained to update the subsidy to then after the fact do the necessary additions to the house to make house to make it more comfortable for the disabled person of such a family unit. Regarding the mud houses in the Western Cape, we've done a survey on that, and there is identified 427 units at the time, of which one example of those is the houses in Beaufort West, where the policy or the principles that's followed is if a person does qualify, the existing structure must be demolished, and then we will then build a house in line with the national norms and standards, which is a 40 square meter house. One of the challenges with going that route is that some of the owners of these mud houses has refused, firstly, for their house to be demolished in view of the fact, in most instances, these mud houses are much bigger than the 40 square meter being house being offered. Unfortunately, in terms of policy, that's all that we can offer the occupants. So that is a bit of a challenge. And but we, where as and where is identified, we have been prioritizing that, especially if we're doing projects in the area to also incorporate such replacements as part of existing projects. Similarly, with the asbestos, there was a survey done. And the number that came up is 116,693. I take it this does not include privately owned homes as only subsidized homes since the inception of the state assistance, I can put it that way. So the survey has been done. The implementation plan is still to be put in place. Given the actual costs linked to this, we won't be able to build houses for the next 5 years if we should implement it. So we have to carefully get clear guidelines on how the implementation of a replacement of asbestos roofs. Should it be only when it is problematic? Many people in privately owned houses who have asbestos roofs that's been living there for all the years. So I think it's just in the matter of where it's broken or where there is no ceilings in terms of the old norms and standards, where ceilings was not a priority, that we're looking at developing guidelines to prioritize which areas in terms of where there are asbestos of how it should be implemented. But I think the biggest challenge is actually that, is the fact that the exorbitant costs linked to this. Because as you are aware, remove the, you need a specialist to do it, and the disposal thereof, I think it comes to, last we checked, it's around about 50,000 rand a unit, just to get the specialist in, to remove it, and then also to have it dumped disposed of in a safe manner. It's already just 50,000. That's before even doing any additional work to such units as in the actual replacement of the roof. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Brian, if you can just the 50-50 backyard dwellers.
I think just regarding the 50-50 backyard policy, I think that is more, remember we've got policy guidelines issued, provincial policy guidelines, and municipalities have the right to, in terms of their local policy guidelines, to implement that. And the city's got the 50-50
policy built into their allocation policy. I cannot give you much detail on that, but it's whereby they're looking at that. Obviously, 50% of the person comes from informal settlements and 50% coming from backyards as well. So it's built into the local policy guidelines of municipalities. Thanks.
Thank you. And the last response, we're going to ask our technical person in Vida Valley, Cody, to respond to in relation to the designs of the bathrooms. Thank you.
Good morning, colleagues. Good morning, chairperson. Can everybody hear me?
You can, Cody?
Yes, we can hear you.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you, colleagues. And I'm responding to the issue regarding the bathrooms at Transhex in Worcester. So the initial specification that was approved for the project was a two-bedroom, 40-square-meter unit with a bathroom and then a shower installed. What the design team then subsequently implemented or included in the design was actually then the shower tray, which was a shower, sort of a, you can almost call it a raised shower, which will then allow also exactly as one of the members indicated, that a child could be bathed in there, but you can use it as a shower, but you can also use it as a washtub to actually wash your clothing in and so forth. So that was actually the thinking, to not just provide a shower, but to provide a shower tray, which is raised. And that was also within the budget of the project at the time. So yeah, that's the primary reason for including the shower tray and not a full bath, because the shower was specified and that was included in the budget initially. I'm sure that should be clear. Thank you, chairperson.
Thank you. I just want to check with David. Is there anything in addition you'd like to add to Corey's response? Thank you.
Camilla, David is not clear. Do you have anything to say on his behalf? Because
are you backing up, David? I think let's just
Can you try again, David?
David, no, we're struggling to hear you. I think, chairperson, let's leave it at that and open up for questions again. If David can try to reconnect and come back in, perhaps it'll be a little bit clearer. But that's our first round of responses. Thank you.
thank you very much, colleagues. Let me also show my face. I think we got the report, Western Cape.
Chairperson, there are two hands.
Oh, there are two hands. Iman Lemant.
Mercy Fry and Mema Kissin.
Okay, and let me know those hands. Can I just try to see if this, my proposal, would not take us forward? That, can we take note of what the Western Cape have said? Towards the end of the meeting, as a committee, decide on how we move forward. Where, Koliswa, we are going to put specific questions that have got quantum, not general policy responses. That will assist us to get, even if Western Cape can respond in writing, but would have presented, because everyone who spoke noted the issue that we are not getting specific items in relation to what Western Cape has presented. But nevertheless, Mestroy and Mema Keseni, let me give you, but please also comment on what I've just said in terms of how do we get answers, real tangible answers out of what Western Cape have said. Thank you.
Chair, maybe your proposal could help us to help Western Cape. Western Cape has got clear directives to implement by a national department that monitors norms and standards of housing. Clear directives. But seemingly, Western Cape is saying, no, we can't. So I agree with you on the press aside discussion to Western Cape and the department. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chairperson. I also support your proposal. Indeed, there are policies that the national they have so that this program must be implemented. It's not a choice of the Western Cape to say where they will do it because of the cost. You can't, I don't think they live in asbestos houses themselves. They know the dangers of the asbestos houses. And the issue of the CRU is also a policy, a program that is national. So the issue of the cost, by the 5 years that they are going to do all those programs, there will be more. So which means our people will remain in those conditions, they won't change. So I think the proposal would assist us to force the Western Cape to do the right thing for our people.
Mema Keseni, are you still there?
I'm done, Chair.
Okay. Camilla and your team, I think you can hear that the committee is not happy. We will, through our colleague, we will write a formal request on the questions that we thought you will answer. I think you are released now.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and members. Thank you for the questions. We look forward to the specific questions. We will be, no disrespect intended in the way we responded. We perhaps didn't realize the depth of the information that was needed, but please divide the questions. And as the Chairperson has indicated, we will submit a detailed response in writing. So thank you very much, everybody, for your time.
Thank you. Colleagues, will lead us to the next item.
The department, Chairperson is going to present.
I wanted the department to comment before we release them. But thank you. Department, when you open your presentation, can you comment on that, please? On what, how you have observed the responses from Western Cape. Please just make an opening comment. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. I've switched on the video. I don't know if it's working. Is it working? Honorable Chairperson and members of the process.
The light behind you make us not to see.
Oh, let me move. I'm sitting on the other. Let me move.
Yeah, just move on the other side of the room.
Much.
Honorable Chairperson and members of the Portfolio Committee, good morning. My name is Lucise Nembile. I've been requested by the Honorable Minister that I lead the Human Settlements team today. The acting DG is not well, hence I will be leading the team. I'm here with the DDG Buthelezi and Mr. Chose is the acting DDG Buthelezi responsible for IGR and working together with Mr. Vusi Chose, as well with the acting DDG Muloi, together with the team Pamela Dili and Luen Werner. Those are the ones that will be responding to the four petitioners of the Mawiga. Honorable Chairperson and members, yesterday we, as the Human Settlements National, we had a meeting as well. We were specifically looking at the Brede Valley and what the department is putting forward. We did acknowledge some of the weaknesses, but we did agree that we will be having a discussion with them that will be led by the DDG Buthelezi, because she's IGR. We will be having a lot of discussions with the Western Cape province to see how we can assist them. And as well, we are aware that there was a team that's led by DDG Siyabonga Gama that went to the Nasna area to look at the bungalows. And I'm waiting for their report back. They're not yet back in the office, but we'll look at what they said. But yes, when they made a presentation, they are right that minister said we need to look at it as in a case of emergency, because there is indeed a housing emergency. So we are just waiting for the response from the team that went to Nasna to look at those bungalows, and then we will respond from there. Honorable Chairperson and members, I'm going to request the team to take the portfolio committee through the presentation that we have prepared today. However, I need to put forward, Honorable Chairperson and members, that our presentation is in two parts, because the first part is the other response that is talking to the 14,000 Mawiga. Those are the ones that came to the National Department of Human Settlements. And then there is this other four petitioners as well. So Minister requested that we need just to highlight, so there's one slide that is talking to the other Mawiga, just to show the portfolio committee that the problem in Winterfeld, Garankuwa, Mabopane is not only these four. It's, there's this other 14 households of 14 that are also having issues that we are trying to assist them with their title deeds. Having said that, Honorable Chairperson members, I'm going to request Acting DG Muloi to take us through. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, and good morning to the Chairperson and to the CFO. I think Acting CFO, you've covered most of the item that forms part of the synopsis of our presentation. However, Ms. Dili will be the one that is taking us through the report. Thank you. Through you, Chairperson, Ms. Dili.
Okay, then you can continue.
My apologies. Good morning, Chairperson and members of the Portfolio Committee and all colleagues in the meeting. My name is Pamela Dili, and I will be taking you through the presentation. Can I slide it from my side?
Yes, you can. I host your co-host.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and members of the Portfolio Committee. As the CFO has already indicated, we are presenting a progress report on the four Mawiga petitioners who were subject to an investigation by the public protector. Just to indicate that this report has been compiled with written inputs, inputs both in the form of written comments submitted to the department and also through engagements in a stakeholders meeting by all the stakeholders involved, the National Department, the Provincial Department of Human Settlements, the Gauteng Department of Human Settlements, Northwest Housing Corporation, City of Pwani, HDA, and the four petitioners. So this is just an outline of the presentation and the issues that we will be taking you through. We are requesting the portfolio committee to note the progress report with regard to the Mawiga ministerial project that the CFO has just spoken about, to note the progress report on the actions pertaining to the four Mawiga petitioners subsequent to the portfolio committee's oversight visit to the Northwest in Rustenburg on the 31st of March, and this will be the subject of our discussion today. Also note the ongoing consultation processes with the four petitioners and all the other stakeholders. And just to confirm that as a department, we remain committed to reporting on progress on a quarterly basis to the portfolio committee and the stakeholders until this matter is concluded. And also note the matter of the psychosocial support for the petitioners that is currently underway as recommended by the chairperson of the portfolio committee in the last meeting in Rustenburg. So the introduction really is that there are two components to the issue of the Mawiga petitioners. One is the one that is part of the ministerial project that aims to resolve the ownership and transfer of properties for 14,000 households in Harangua Unit 7 and 8 in Mabopane and Winterveld. But we are currently implementing phase one of this project that are responding to the issues of 8,000 petitioners. And then the second component is the former Uyghur petitioners whose properties were illegally sold and transferred. So this slide, without going into much detail, it just provides an outline of the Mawiga ministerial project. That this minister declared this project to resolve issues of ownership and transfer of approximately 14,000 households. But currently we are dealing with 8,000 households whose properties were uncontested. So this is phase one of this project. And the progress is well underway. We've appointed conveyancers who will be doing beneficiary verification, and this process is almost concluded. We're envisaging the first batch of transfers will be lodged by the end of June 2023. With regard to the four Mawiga petitioners, I will not go into details about this. I think everybody in this meeting is aware of the background regarding the issues of the four petitioners and the investigation that was conducted by the public protector and the public protector's report and recommendations regarding the four petitioners. Just a reminder that the four petitioners is Mr. Ernest Haswe, Mr. Michael Mere, Ms. Bongo Sepeng, and Ms. Marie Lidingwane. So I think with this part, we are well aware of the findings of the public protector in this regard. So I will not go into the details. The report has been attached to provide further detail. So getting straight into the issues. The progress report then with regard to each of the petitioners. Chairperson and members, you may recall that when we went to Rustenburg, it was confirmed that Mr. Haswe has accepted vacant land at Earth 757 in Mokwase in the Northwest. And this land is currently owned by the Department of Public Works. So the progress report that we have received is that attempts by the Northwest Housing Corporation to engage Department of Public Works in order to fast track the transfer of ownership rights to Mr. Hase has not particularly been successful. And in this regard, we have committed as the department to intervene with the department, so facilitate DG to DG discussions between human settlements and public works to see how we can fast track this matter so the transfer can be concluded. That's the one part for Mr. Hase. The second part is that you may also recall that in the last meeting, there were discussions, extensive discussions about what is being offered to the petitioners in terms of the top structures. The MEC was in that meeting as well for Northwest. And then it was confirmed that we would be offering petitioners as government 50 square meters, top structures of 50 square meters, in specifications and designs. Mr. Hase has subsequently raised concerns with the department that when he considers the property values around the area where he has been offered the stand, he feels that this 550 square meter spec and design is of inferior quality, and he's requesting government to consider offering him something of higher value in terms of spec. But I think it's important here, Chairperson and members, to indicate that as the department, our intervention has to be within the policy prescripts and parameters. So in this regard, Mr. Hase has requested that government considers developing special specs and designs for petitioners, and we indicated to him that we do not have such in the policy. So everything we do has to be in line with the policy. And just going back to the public protector's report as well, I think it's very important to indicate that the public protector was saying that what the petitioners should be offered, it has to be within the same value as what the values of their properties were when this fraudulent activity happened. So I think that's quite important as well. So Tshwane and Northwest Housing Corporation have confirmed that if you consider the values of the properties that the petitioners are being offered, combine it with the values of the top structure, it's way above what the properties of the values of their properties were at the time. And this takes into consideration even present day values that have been done. So I think that's an important issue, and we have raised this matter with Mr. Hase. Then going on to the issues of Mr. Beng. Mr. Beng, you will recall as well that she had previously rejected two vacant sites that were offered to her in Garankuwa Zone 4. So those are the two ERS 9063 and 9064. And then in Rustenburg, you may remember that she indicated that she had identified other stands which were adjacent to these ones that she had rejected. So subsequently, Ms. Sipping has indicated that Northwest Housing Corporation has confirmed that they are willing to reopen discussions with Ms. Sipping to offer her those stands that she had identified as her preferences in the same area, Zone 4. So Ms. Sipping has agreed to that offer, and the discussions are underway to fast track this process. But also just to note that concurrently there was also another process that took place between Ms. Sipping and City of Tshwane. The city took her to view some stands in Lady Selborne in Pretoria. Ms. Sipping identified some sites that she preferred, but unfortunately, those the prices and values of those stands are quite extensive. So the discussions that were happening with her is that if we offer you a stand, we will not offer you a top structure. So there's a whole lot of complications around this issue. But Ms. Sipping has subsequently confirmed that she will go with the discussions with Northwest Housing Corporation in terms of the sites that they are offering her. So that is the current status, because in any case with Mr. Peng, it was the same. It's the same, I suppose, with all of the petitioners. It's the same issue around the values of the properties, their properties, previous properties versus what government is offering. But I can confirm, I spoke to Mr. Peng as well this morning. She says that she will she's willing to talk to Northwest Housing Corporation so that the issue of the stands that she's being offered, she will take those ones. Then we come to Mr. Mere's situation, which remains a bit complex. You may recall that with this one, Mr. Mere owns property 2877 in Zone 2 in Kharangua, and there are complexities around that land, because part of it is on farms Odekraal, which is owned by City of Tshwane. Portion 3 is owned by Medunsa, and the other portions are privately owned. So there's a whole issue here of a consolidation that has to happen in order for the township to be registered and then the land to be registered in land ownership to be registered in Mr. Mere's case. Initially, there had been discussions, you may remember, regarding bringing in HDA to do an evaluation on this property, and to advise COT on how to take this process forward. What has only happened is that HDA has done an evaluation, but further discussions in terms of how to take that process forward came to a stall because of on the part of Tshwane not availing information on work that had initially been done. So this became a problem. But I have received a report from City of Tshwane this morning that subsequent discussions have taken place with HDA. An agreement has been reached. HDA has agreed to assist the municipality to get power of attorney from Medunsa and Public Works on these portions of land. And so once that is done, this will then fast track the process to get the consolidation done and the registration done. What we've agreed here is that we will have weekly meetings with Tshwane and HDA just to make sure that this work is expedited. Also, just to confirm again, Tshwane has confirmed that they have also appointed then a service provider who will assist with the issues of township establishment in Kharangua Zone 2. And so once the registration is done and the deeds office will be engaged, then this will fast track Mr. Mere's issue. The other issue that was also been raised is that last year, the province provided Northwest Housing Corporation with consent to register Kharangua Unit 2. So the city is of the view that if this gets signed by Northwest Housing Corporation, it will expedite the process of sorting out Mr. Mere's issues. And a letter has been sent to Northwest Housing Corporation in this regard. Then the property for Ms. Lidingwan, I think this one it has no problems. Things are proceeding well. Ms. Lidingwan accepted an offer on stand number 12049 and 12050 block X in Mabopani. totaling, the two stands totaling 570 square meters. So City of Joburg, City of Tshwane, excuse me, will take responsibility for the construction of the top structure, 50 square meter specifications and designs, and Gauteng Department of Human Settlements has given City of Tshwane the approval to proceed with construction. City of Tshwane is in the process of confirming the variation order, but this matter has also served at the city's BAC meeting that took place on the 23rd of May. The contractor, who's already doing work on projects around that area, has agreed to assist with this with Ms. Lebengwane's issue as well, and the contractor will discuss the specifications with Ms. Lebengwane. And it is envisaged that the construction will begin in July 2023. So as I indicated, the house has already been included in a currently running project in Mabopane, and Ms. Lebengwane has confirmed what we are presenting today, that she has no problems with her issues. Then the other issue that was discussed and has been in discussion regarding the petitioners is the issue of the ex gratia payments. To confirm that Northwest Housing Corporation has made payments of 10,000 each to Mr. Mere, Mr. Khase, and Ms. Lebengwane. They've confirmed that they have received the payments and also apology letters from Northwest Housing Corporation. Mr. Peng had not yet received an apology letter. Signed one. She was only showed a copy at that Rustenburg meeting. She indicated she has not yet received an apology letter, but Northwest Housing Corporation has committed that they will send her a signed copy this week. Ms. Beng, you may recall that she had initially rejected the ex gratia payment, but subsequently she has agreed to accept the payment. Northwest Housing Corporation is in the process of making the payment into her account, and the agreement was that this would be done by the 26th of May, so the end of this week. Northwest Housing Corporation has also indicated that they still hold the position that regarding the proposed revision of the ex gratia payments, as previously reported in the last portfolio committee meeting in Rustenburg, they are unable to consider a revision of the 10,000 ex gratia paid to the petitioners. Then there was the issue that was also discussed in the last meeting, chairperson and members, you may recall, was the consultation with the lawyers for human rights for the losses incurred by petitioners. And I think this was raised by the chairperson of the portfolio committee just based on the discussions that were happening and the emotions that usually come through in these meetings from the petitioners regarding the losses they have incurred. The chairperson did request the National Department to try and facilitate some sort of services for counseling for the petitioners, so some sort of psychological support. But this matter I think is more related to the ex gratia payments as well, because the petitioners believe that the 10,000 is not sufficient. If you calculate the losses, and I think the public protector's report also talks about the issue of compensating the petitioners based on losses incurred. But what we've all acknowledged is that these totality of losses, other than the properties that we are dealing with, have not been calculated. Then the chairperson of the portfolio committee then proposed that perhaps there should be some sort of consultation with lawyers for human rights, and this would be facilitated through Parliament's legal advisory services. So we, in this regard, we are requesting guidance from the chairperson of the portfolio committee in terms of how to take this matter forward, because the petitioners are of the view that this is what was promised in terms of a service that could be provided to them, to get some sort of legal, expert legal opinion on these losses that have been incurred. And this would perhaps in some way or another inform the revision of the ex gratia amounts. And so we are requesting guidance from the portfolio committee in that regard. The last matter is with regard to it's the second last matter, sorry. It's with regard to the opening of a case against City of Tshwane for the illegal sales of the petitioner's properties. You may recall again that in the Rustenburg meeting, this is a recommendation that was specifically made by the MEC, that in order to arrest this matter of City of Tshwane saying Northwest Housing Corporation, you did it, and Northwest Housing Corporation saying Tshwane, you are the ones that effected the illegal sales and transfers, Northwest Housing Corporation should open a case, and that is what they have done. They have been to a police station in Mahikeng to open the case, and they were informed there that on the basis that this fraudulent activity happened in the municipal jurisdiction of Tshwane, the case should be opened in a police station or at a police station in Tshwane. So that is what the Northwest Housing Corporation is busy with. A letter has also been sent from the Northwest Housing Corporation to City of Tshwane, to the municipal manager, to request the municipality to avail the full details of the alleged perpetrators who committed this fraudulent activity. But in this regard as well, I think it's important to note that Tshwane still says that they intend to take the public protector's report on review. I think we are well aware of this matter. This is what they have been reporting even in the previous portfolio committee meetings. The last part is the provision of psychosocial counseling services for the four petitioners. Yes, this was raised proposed, recommended by the chairperson of the portfolio committee on the 31st of March. So what we did as a national department, we thought we could do this internally through our own employee health wellness program, but it has subsequently been informed that again, policy applies here, and the national department in terms of this program can only assist members of the department. So employees of the department and members of their immediate families only. So what then we did was that the national department, we work with other institutions, organizations that are external. So we referred this matter of the petitioners to these institutions. We've made examples there of who we started talking to, NICRO, Department of Social Development, and other centers in and around the neighborhoods where the petitioners are staying at. Because the view was that they would be able to access counseling support services at no charge. But organizations like NICRO have confirmed that they provide services, they do provide services, but at some charge. And the petitioners have indicated that they would not be able to afford those charges. But what we are looking at here is we are exploring different solutions and different types of support that can be provided. One is that we are also proposing a DG to DG communication between the Department of Human Settlements and the Department of Social Development, because they have social workers, and this is work they do on a daily basis. So we will be facilitating those engagements between the two DGs to see how the Department of Social Development can support the petitioners. Failing which, we would also explore how internally, again, as a department, we can procure services, a service provider to do this work for us. But we are exploring those different options, and particularly at this point, to prioritize the engagements between the two DGs of human settlements and social development. We come to the end of the presentation with recommendations for the portfolio committee to note the progress on the Mawiga ministerial project that is currently implementing phase one of this project for the 8,000 property transfers for 8,000 households. The second recommendation is note the progress report on the actions pertaining to the Mawiga 4 petitioners and the work that has been done subsequent to the portfolio committee's oversight visit on the 31st of March in Rustenburg. Also to note that the ongoing consultation processes with the 4 petitioners and the relevant stakeholders, and that as a department, we are still committed to facilitating and coordinating this work and reporting on a quarterly basis until the matters are concluded. And just also then the last issue to note, the matter of the psychosocial support for the petitioners and the interventions we are trying to put in place as a department to support the petitioners. I think it's also important just on that part to note, and it's in the comprehensive report, that the petitioners feel that the counseling is not going to be useful if it does not happen concurrently with expediting the matters of their properties. Thank you very much, Chairperson and members. That's the end of the presentation.
Thanks, Chairperson and members. I forgot to acknowledge the officials from the Office of the Acting DG, Mr. Mlamzeli and Kosi, and also the officials from the Minister's Office. Chairperson and members, that will be our submission for today. We'll await for the questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Osbus. Do you want me to do this before the questions? Okay, I'm not influencing the debate, but I'm trying to look at the hands. Colissa, I don't see a hand now.
One from Mr. Malimacha, Chairperson.
And note my hand because I'm using the phone and
I have to
raise the hand. Yeah.
Let's start with Ntate Malimacha, Chairperson. Other members? Chairperson, if you are in the good areas, you can take over at any time when you are well off to take over the meeting.
No, proceed, Mr. Tseki.
Okay. Mr. Malimacha, Ntate Malimacha, and the chairperson, please comment.
No, thanks, Chair. I think the two titles are right, Mr. Wandate, they are right. Chair, let me also welcome the presentation. It's just I need this clarity. The lady who was given an offer on the two sides, and after she showed us that the calculations of those earth are tantamount to less of what she expected. Now, the presenter is saying, I think that also assisted a bit. But my confusion is, like, there's another offer by the city of Tshwane where there was a mentioning of the properties high, she will get stand, not a house. Are you suggesting that she's going to benefit twice, that side or this side, or she'll choose one? I think that will be number one. Number two, do we have a case number of the fraudulenters? Is there a case, because the chair will time and again and say, this matter, if we really serious about what we're doing, we expected a case number and know exactly who is arrested, then we know that we are really serious about this. Other than that, Comrade Chair, I think I also follow your steps to say I can clap hands. There is a progress, but the other thing that we must really work to improve is the issue of sense of agency. It can't be correct that it's only yesterday where there was a meeting trying to say, we must be getting a full report to say, after you left, it did not even take 2 weeks. Other things, a matter of taking state car, run around, finish up, so that when we come here, because we are confronted with a lot of issues, we close this matter once and for all. We are here for 5 years. We don't want to be seen only dealt with one issue. We want to help the South Africans. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson Smeya.
Thank you very much, Chair and the honorable members and the teams, the department and all our guests. Good morning. Chair, let me thank you, Chair, for that you were able to navigate this meeting so far very well, and one want to appreciate that. The second issue is to welcome the presentation and the progress that was made. I agree that we should clap hands ourselves, Chair, we have not move with speed in terms of taking the matter to the lawyers for human rights, but we are facilitating our private meeting with the Office of the Public Protector, so that we should move with them on this matter as we finalize the case. So we just thought it will be important for us to engage the public protector outside the process, and because there are even some of the cases that we were told by the correctional services through the chair of chairs that have been submitted to us and who have not moved with speed. So we are trying to organize the meeting with them. Secondly, we will be meeting with the SIU on the issue of the case, because we want the SIU to take up the matter itself, so that we then resolve the matter as speedily as possible. But what I want to indicate, Chair, is that with the work that's supposed to be done on psychology treatment or engaging social workers and all these things, I want to join Mr. Malemata that there is a need for departments to move with speed, because we're talking about the mind of people. We are talking about the people have been suffering a lot, and the more we continue
delaying this matter, we are creating problems. Though we acknowledge the progress that has been made and we are happy with the progress, but Chair, I'm going to propose again that as we are towards closing the process, we should go back and confirm all the reports and then at some point we'll call the petitioners themselves to come and confirm, and then we know that we have closed the matter. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Without hands, let me just also comment. You know, when I was listening, why we are thanking you for you to swim, while we know that swimming is part of your job, is the content of your presentation. It's far away, outweighs the representations that you have been giving us. So this is good. I must say, the manner in which it was presented, the content of it, it takes us forward. I think that's where we are saying we appreciate that. But I think what Comrade Chris is saying is important. You know, immediately when you start saying we had a meeting last week, yesterday, we are worried to say between then and now, did you only have one meeting? Maybe you should tell us not only about the last meeting, tell us about other meetings or other activities that you have done so that we should see it's not only when you are coming to us. I think that's the weakness somewhere there. The other matter, I'm happy that you have not raised the issue. Remember last time there was an issue of, I missed the lady's name, who she was saying she's requesting six stands. I think that's what Comrade Chris is saying. You are not raising it today. Because after that, we had to clarify to say, why six against two? Then she said, no, actually the six stands, it's one stand but divided into the 250s, you know? Because the total stand is 1,500 or so, 1,300. Now it's divided into 250s square meters. Now it becomes six. So I think, thank you for not raising it, because probably you have also looked at it to say, no, I don't think the lady was really demanding more, because the one that you said it's one, it was something like how much, about 560 or 600 square meters or so. So I think we have dealt with that in my view. Chair, I think if I understood it correctly, let's speed up the process. And my understanding is that, which the department, you are also summarizing it well in my view, to say by dealing with psychosocial without dealing with the agreement to a finality, maybe you may just be plowing, you know, in water, not in the fields, whereby the fruits will die. So my understanding, when Chairperson was summarizing this in Rustenburg, we were saying that let's link human rights lawyers with the psychosocial so that they should run parallel. While the human rights are presenting, there should be a psychosocial impact on the process and the reasoning and the like. So I think we should not miss the two. It should not run alone, because the department, you are right, it's not going to bear the expected fruits. Can you comment on those few points, Lucy, and your team?
There's a hand, Mr. Troy.
Ms. Troy was a guy. Okay, Ms. Troy.
Thank you, Chair. I just want also to put a point. There is a good progress as we listen, and also your views that you are raising, that there's a clear content on the presentation. But given the fact that seemingly there are emotions, I agree with the chairperson's proposal. And where there are emotions,
there should be two approaches dealing with the emotional issues, also help the physical emotion, which is we want our houses and our land equally, so that physical need is attended to as you attend with the psychological emotions. I think this presentation is very, very clear to us, Chair. I wanted to say that so that I add more on the appreciation. Thank you, Chair.
Ask Lucy.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. We really appreciate. Sure. Thank you so much. And the team is here that could work in the sleepless night. And all the hard work that we did even yesterday to go through the presentation, we really appreciate. And the Chairperson and members, we are really learning. Because this one has been well accepted, I think when we go back as team DHS, we are indeed going to improve. Chairperson and members, I'm going to request Umedili to respond to the specific questions. Then, and May Muloi, if you want to add, and then I'll come back at the end. Thank you so much.
Thank you, CFO, through you, Chairperson. I will start with Ndate Malemeja's questions. Ndate Malemeja, no, messaging is not taking two offers. What we were doing was that because her issues around the property offers from Northwest Housing Corporation, there was still uncertainty. So there was a concurrent process running to say, what does Tshwane have that they can also offer? So, but I think like I outlined in the presentation, that Mayor Sepeng has agreed to go with the offer, yeah, Northwest Housing Corporation. So the Tshwane matter of the properties in Selborne, it falls off. We are only going with the one offer for the other properties in Harangua. And maybe Chairperson, linking it to what you were saying, yes, about those properties that were discussed in the Rustenburg meeting, the 610s divided into 250s. Those are the ones that Northwest Housing Corporation is saying, look, because they are right adjacent, if you remember, on the map to the ones that she had rejected. But Northwest Housing Corporation is actually saying we can work with this. When we look at these stands, the consolidation, we can still offer her. It's not not out of what we are willing to offer. So that is what they are offering, messaging, and that is what she has agreed to. So that's the offer that the Malemeja we are going with. The issue of the case number at the moment, because remember I indicated that Northwest Housing Corporation initially went to a police station in Mahikeng. Then Mahikeng Police Station, when they considered all of the issues and the facts and the fact that this matter happened in Tshwane, they then proposed to Northwest Housing Corporation to go and open a case in Tshwane. So Northwest Housing Corporation is busy with that. They are in the process of doing that. So there's no case at the moment. There's no case number because they're still then in the process of coming to Tshwane to open a case in Tshwane. And I have also seen letters from the CEO of Northwest Housing Corporation to the municipal manager of Tshwane, indicating that they are requesting this full information of the alleged officials because the intention is to open a case. And yes, that day, in terms of the sense of urgency, we agree with you. We are appreciating that we are dealing with very complex matters. but we are committed to making sure that we make substantial progress in this regard. Mr. Menya, I think we welcome your comments then in terms of the intervention from your side with regards to the engagement with the lawyers for human rights and the public protector and bringing in the SIU. Then we will just update our reports going forward and engage further on the process, on the progress with regard to that matter. The issue of the psychosocial services, and yes, indeed, the petitioners have said that if the psychosocial services or counseling support comes in isolation, then we do not want it. That they said that, that's what they said to us. But what we've agreed with them is that we are going to try and fast track their issues so that this process happens. It happens in parallel with getting things going on the ground. So getting their properties constructed, their top structures, the title deeds for Mr. Mary. And so in terms of those different interventions for them individually, we will try to fast track for all of them so that it happens in parallel. I think the last issue, Mr. Fry, yes, I think you were just emphasizing the importance of dealing with those emotional issues, and it should go hand in hand with the physical progress on the ground, and we welcome that input as well. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
I could hear a sigh of relief. Oslucy, you want to close the matter?
Yes, Chair. I was just going to say, Chairperson, we really appreciate, we'll convey the message to the acting DG and the minister. We really appreciate, and we will keep on pushing to make sure that we work with a sense of agency so that we can respond to all the issues that are raised, and we assist all the citizens so that they can have adequate housing. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Kolisa, leaders, I'm not sure the department can be released probably now.
Yes, Chair, I think it can be released because we're going to deal with the report.
Okay. Yeah, let's go to the report.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and members. I'm going to take you through the second and third quarter report. Colleagues, so if you could give me the sharing rights. Okay, while this is being done, okay, so this is the second quarter report for the financial year 2022-23. Maybe I should explain how it was presented so that it's going to make sense to members with the way I'm going to present the report. So both reports were presented in the same presentation, and the members asked or made observations and recommendations that are cross-cutting. So the recommendations and the observations and recommendations are the same. However, the expenditure or the performance is not the same. So I will look at the expenditure for the second quarter and third quarter, but I will read only one recommendation. Okay, so as I've said, that this is the second quarter report. It was done on 15 March 2023. And how it's compiled is that It deals with the expenditure on the non-financial and financial section, and it also provides deliberation, observation, or recommendation by members. And also the expenditure is based on the adjusted estimates of the national expenditure by the national treasurer. With regards to an overview of the expenditure, the expenditure is okay. Also, please note that these reports for ATC are written in the past tense. Okay, so the expenditure was expected to increase from 33.5 billion in 2022 to 23 to 28.1 billion in 25-26 at an average annual rate of 4.4%. That is the crux of the expenditure, and all these transfers will comprise all the allocation to HSDG, USDG, and the IUPSG. And this is the expenditure on specific programs. This is in developing integrated human settlements, and this is in dealing with upgrading of informal settlements and the facilitating of affordable housing. With regards to performance per program, the program number one, which is administration, targeted to have 35% implementation of internal audit plan, which was achieved. And the second target was 100% execution of the anti-fraud and corruption. And there, only 80% was achieved. And the following target was 47 implementation of the approved risk management plan, and this was fully achieved. The implementation of the human resource plan, this was 75% achieved, and the target on 55 implementation of the approved annual ICC plan, this was fully achieved, and 50% implementation of the approved communication plan. This was 40% of this was achieved, and the target on unqualified audits with no material findings, this was achieved, and one quarterly assessment conducted on human settlements development grant. This was achieved, and the target on one quarterly assessment conducted on USDG, this was also achieved. With regards to program number two, which is integrated human settlements planning, they had target number one, which is one report on integrated implementation program for priority development areas. This was achieved, and also report on the total human settlements allocation in PDAs, this was achieved. An analysis report on the land acquired during 2014 to 2019 PDAs result, and this was achieved. The target on national human settlements development plan developed. So the national human settlements development plan was not developed. The target was achieved, but there was an error on the annual performance plan, which indicated 2023-2024 instead of 2022-23. Consultation on policy foundation for housing and human settlements developed. Consultation on policy foundation for housing and human settlements developed. One draft procurement policy for housing and human settlements developed. This was achieved. A consultation report on the draft policy program This was achieved. Consultation report on the draft rent to buy policy program. This was achieved. And consultation on the draft small scale rental policy program. This was achieved. Consultation report on the draft reform social housing policy program. This was achieved. Consultation on the draft consumer education policy program. This was also achieved. Consultation on the norms and standards for affordable housing. This was achieved. And the consultation report on the draft employer assisted housing policy program. This was achieved. The target on one report on entities performance monitored. This was done. Target on monitoring report on the set aside for the designated group. A report on the set aside for designated group developed partially monitored. Verification not completed due to PPPFA report received late from provinces, metros, and entities. Target on the report on project monitored as per approved business plan. One report on projects monitored as per approved business plan. One report on blocked project monitored. This was achieved. One report on the monitoring of MTSF sector indicator. This was achieved. And a report on intergovernmental relations program implemented. One report on intergovernmental relations program implemented. With regards to program number three, which is informal settlements, they had one target, which is to monitor and report progress of informal settlements upgrading projects in 9 provinces and 8 metros. So what they did was monitor report progress of informal settlements upgrading projects in 9 provinces and metros. This was achieved. Program number four, which is rental and social housing, the target of drafting national rental housing plan. The draft national rental housing plan was developed. However, it was not presented to management and other external structures. Number five, which is program number five, which is affordable housing. They had a target on report on consultation with Mineral Council of South Africa, and this was partially done. And one quarterly report on title deeds registered, this was achieved. An analysis report on blocked projects developed, this was, analysis report on blocked projects developed. However, this was not approved. The last target was a quarterly report on the number of jobs created, one quarterly report on the number of jobs opportunity partially achieved. Portfolio of evidence to verify figures provided was not submitted by provinces, metros, and STRA. Okay, so now section number four deals with committee observations and recommendations. So after the presentation, the committee noted the following observations and provided the following recommendations. So number one, noted there was a number of jobs created through human settlements initiatives. However, details on the number and nature of jobs created was not provided to the committee. Recommendation: provide the committee with a detailed report on the number and the nature of jobs that have been created through human settlements initiatives. Number two, concern about the impact of a reallocation of funds from non-performing to performing provinces on citizens who expected service delivery. It was not clear if reallocated funds resulted in improved service delivery by receiving provinces. Present to the committee a plan to address the impact of reallocating funds from non-performing to performing provinces. This presentation should include an assurance that the receiving provinces spend their funds on service delivery. This must be presented to the committee within a month. I think National Treasury was here presenting in the last committee meeting on how this dysfunction works. Number three, concern about the backlog in the eradication of mud houses and asbestos roofing. Recommendation presented to the committee and implementation plan to address the backlog of mud houses and asbestos roofing. The implementation plan must be presented to the committee within a month. Number four, concern about a lack of a plan to assist under performance by provinces in relation to the MTSF targets. The community acknowledged that there were continuous meetings between the national department and provinces to address this issue. However, there was still no concrete and widely accepted plan to address the issue. Present a recovery plan to address underperformance in provinces. This plan must be presented to the committee within 3 months. Number five, concern about the continuous underperformance of ISUPG and USDG grant affecting people on the ground. The problem was compounded by procurement challenges. Recommendation, provide assistance to provinces to improve performance, put in place interventions to ensure improved performance, adequately deal with procurement challenges in all provinces. That's the ideals of the priority development areas program were not achieved because of the land planning issues. Present a plan to address issues associated with the implementation of PDA's program. The planning directorate in the department and the housing development agency should develop a plan to resolve issues affecting the implementation of PDA's. Number seven, noted that the presentation on blocked project entitled deeds. However, the progress on unblocking of blocked project was not presented to the committee. The recommendation, present a plan to unblock blocked projects to the committee. This must be done within 3 months. Number eight, noted the presentation on the title deeds. However, the committee observed that land planning challenges hampered the issuance of title deeds. Improve land planning and rezoning processes to fast track the issuance of title deeds. Number nine, concern about non-compliance with the policy on payment of service providers within 30 days. Recommendation, ensure that invoices are paid within the prescribed 30 days. Address all challenges associated with non-compliance. Number 10, noted the quantitative delivery of houses. However, the committee was concerned about the lack of integration of houses. Ensure that houses are provided in sustainable and in integrated human settlements approach. Ensure compliance with human settlements policy program. And this would be reflected in a housing code or human settlements code, which is a toolkit for the implementation of housing or human settlements policy. So this must be ensured in the delivery of human settlements and fast track the review of the Housing Act into the Human Settlements Act. And this will be followed by the review of the housing code to a human settlements the code. Noted initiatives by the department to empower women, youth, and people with disabilities. However, there was no detailed report on how these groups would be empowered. Recommendation, present to the committee a detailed report on how these groups would be empowered through human settlements initiatives. This must be presented to the committee within 3 months. Concern about a number of acting positions in top management, which was affecting the performance of the department and provinces. The acting position of the Director General was of a particular concern. Recommendation ensured the finalization of the appointment of the DG. Vacant posts in top management must be filled by individuals with the relevant qualification and experience. Chair, thank you. The report should be considered. As I've said earlier on, Chair, that the performance, the reports are the same, but the performance on quota number 3 it is different. So if you want me to go through the performance per program, I can quickly go through that, Chair. I'm expecting your guidance, Chair.
Thank you, members. There's the report. Can you go to where you were talking about the target of 100% land acquisition? I think it's somewhere on top there. Members, there's the report. Agreed. That is my message. I want to see my Magesen, can you start?
Thanks, Chairperson. I just want to check, maybe it's my mistake on the second quarter presentation on observation. We didn't say part of the challenge, yes, it was procurement and political instability in the municipality, hence that those two grants were not used. 4.5.
So, honourable member, are you saying that you indicated that there's political instability? Is that?
Yes.
You mean political instability on the coalitions, no?
Yes, especially Mangaung. Remember the intervention that was sent in Mangaung while they were not making any inroads. And Nelson, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, the others are political coalitions, the others are pure, like Mangaung is. Yeah. Okay, yes, yeah. And also linked to that, correct me, there was an issue that we are not going to release. We are going to recommend that money must be withheld until certain responses are received by the committee. Do I remember well? I think for us to invite AG and Treasury, I think in particular AG, it was among those discussions. I'm not sure whether the chairperson is still connected. If she can remind us on that. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, we said about Mangaung and Johannesburg and Swane. If they don't appear, the grant, they must not receive their allocation.
And they also did not come to our...
to the portfolio committee.
Yes. Can we confirm that with the chairperson before we finalize it, Asma Kesini? I think I agree with you. It was within that. So, Savelo, before you finalize it in total, but this is our recommendation on those three, that they are failure to appear in front.
Chair.
Okay, Chair. Yes, Chairperson.
Yes, that's what we said. And unfortunately, two have released Cecil Lucy, CFO.
Yes.
Yes, this issue needs them. That they should not be released
the funds should not be released until there is accountability.
Okay. Maybe we should add by writing letters, Koliswa. Maybe the chairperson should just sign letters and then we send them direct to the department.
That has been done, Acting Chair.
Okay. Oh, then that's good. Okay, we are moving then. Thank you, Chairperson. Can you, you know what I wanted to check on the land acquisition survey?
Yes, Chair.
That as much as we are reaching these target members, the issue of land acquisition is quite important. And I would request a recommendation that says we would request the department to make a presentation on the process of land acquisition from the zero to Z, from the beginning to the end, before development takes place. And how long do they take that? Because really, in the absence of fast-tracking this issue of land acquisition, we are going to find ourselves not meeting our targets, in particular on service terms. So that will be an added recommendation, service.
Okay.
Members, do I take that we have agreed with the presentation? And can I get a move and a second?
I move, Chair.
The hand is up, Chair. Oh, sorry.
Yes, Mama. Maybe your computer is starting to use that old method of refusing to raise your hand. Okay, you can speak.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. I think let's appreciate this report and the way it's written. It's clarifying many issues for our decision making. But I want to confirm the issues that Samelo raised, that there's a national plan on which has not been presented to management. Can you go back to that, Isabelo? I missed that. But what I approved is that when it has not gone to the management, therefore it cannot be finalized by us, because that's a technical structure that needs to happen. It came after the all consultations that you raised, Isabel.
Sorry, honorable member, is not the one that I highlighted just now.
National Rental Housing Plan, developed, yes. However, it was not presented. Yes, thank you very much. Yes. But we what does that mean? It was not presented to management. It was, we don't want delays. What could be the timeline for that to happen so that we allow the service delivery to continue? There's also the blocked project analysis, which is not approved. Can you go to that?
Yes. Is this the one I'm highlighting?
Block project not approved, however, it was not approved. It's the analysis. What does that mean? So all what we're discussing, our block project, it will be stuck on that when the analysis has not been approved, which is a research with the data on how big is the problem and all those issues. What does that mean, Isabelo? Maybe you will respond on my questions. Yes, I think I agree with the decision that we've taken, that all those that have been given money because they are performing.
You should observe they are consistent performing in the funds that is given to them, because the criteria was that they are performing better than others.
Mm-hmm.
So we must make sure that performance is there. The mud houses, I hear what we've approved, and I think it's a direction, but we need to note that the report of Western Cape about mud houses. They're not going to do anything. They don't know how to do it. We should have time frames, Chair, acting Chair, on the utilization of ESARP and USDG. Can you go to that item, Sabel?
Yes. USDG, okay.
What did you see there?
Is it in the recommendations or in the performance?
I think it's in the recommendations.
Okay.
Where are you?
I'm in recommendations now.
Where is your USDG and?
Here. It's
4.5. Concerned, yes, about the continuous underperformance of ESARP and USDG grant affecting people on the ground. The problem was compounded by procurement challenges, also political instability, coalitions. Recommendation: provide assistance to provinces to improve performance, put in place intervention to ensure improved performance adequately, deal with the procurement challenges in all provinces. Netro's Mangaung funds should be withheld until there is accountability. It's a very, very complex, a very, very complex. I'm not sure if the members would not like to really look on that, because this is what is human settlement about, and we stuck, and it's not a small thing. I don't know the best. I agree with that recommendations, but maybe I'm trying to say it does not have grips, it does not have teeth to bite. I don't know, I'm just putting to the members that maybe we need to relook on that. It's a nice recommendation to have, which may not address the issues that we're confronted with. The issue of I like that issue of the set aside of women, youth, not clarifying what exactly are they doing. What exactly did they do which dignify their ability to participate in the procurement processes? We've been requesting this since we came. I don't know what could be the best way to emphasize on it. I really don't know if perhaps could not be that a presentation could be made to us by the department on this matter, so that we address it we address it as it is alone. We raise it as if it's not important. I'm throwing to the meeting chair on the best way to address that recommendation. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Acting Chair.
Thank you. I think the last point of the recommendation said this must be presented to the committee within 3 months. Is it not?
This must be presented to the committee within 3 months.
Yes.
I'm using a new gadget. It's not clear. It's misty a little bit. It makes me.
Okay, yes. No, it's covered. It's covered. There.
It's covered. No, it's covered. Chair. Thank you. Thank you very much. It is covered. Okay.
With that, you are seconding Imangana support, Agonja. Makeseni has moved, so you are supporting with the, those the comments, Ms. Nancy. As Nancy, you are supporting for the report to be adopted with those comments?
Yeah, but the issues that I raised, I wanted the committee to assist me.
You know, I was listening, Chair, when I was listening. I think we are fine with the amendments that you have made. Like the last one, I was making you aware
that
it's covered somewhere. But those others, Sabelo has noted them, and let's take them as they are. I think the issue is like what you were saying, just present the English. The Sabelo and Koliswa knows how to put English in the same context. Okay, members, with the adoption of this, can we move to the next item?
We will be done, Chairperson. Mercy Manya is on the line.
Chairperson.
I agree with the report, Chair. I think that I wanted to support the report too.
Okay.
And agree that we can adjourn the meeting if we're done. I'm sorry for inconveniencing you.
No, it's fine, Chair.
Good morning, Chair.
Before we go, there were minutes there, Kolisa, or are we going? We're going to look at the minutes.
Let's do the minutes, Chair, through you, because we still have 2 minutes, some few minutes.
Kolisa?
There were no minutes calculated, Chairperson, unless the ones that were referred last meeting. The minutes of the three of.
Are you having them readily?
There was a report that we have postponed. Is it this one? Or the minutes? Okay, no, that's fine. Okay.
The minutes, are they readily available? You know,
they are not ready. They are not ready. A chair will then bring them in the next meeting.
Okay. Okay. Colita, are you allowing me to close the meeting?
Yes, sir, you can close the meeting.
Maybe just before you close, let me just brief members on the update on the trip to Brazil that we have met with the chair of chairs. We were given go ahead to make submissions to the chair of chairs, but there is a likely that the request might not be approved because we went to Katowice and Lesotho when we're still water and sanitation. But we have tried to motivate. The chair of chairs said we must then submit. We'll hear from them whether it will be approved or not. And then I've even raised the issues that members have experienced at Katowice.
that you have even submitted some of the claims which we have not received acknowledgement, or we have not received anything that shows that somebody has received our claims, or and even raising the inconvenience that were the embassy, which is the agency, cost members. And the chair of chairs is that is opening the matter. You will have to get the report from the administration, so that in the next visit, members should not experience the challenges that we have experienced before. So I just thought I must brief you. As we said, we'll brief you every now and then on the report. And then there was this thing that at the time Tsepo was trying to present, he was cut when he was trying to brief members in terms of our choice of the country. Maybe just to summarize, to say that we had made the research on Kenya, Egypt, and Brazil, and then we find, as a management, when we're looking at the policy that members can learn in terms of countries that were able to deal with matters that South Africa were trying to deal with, which we have not reached the level that we are doing very well. We found Brazil to be the option. With Egypt, is that the Public Works Portfolio Committee is trying to go there, but they've not succeeded because there are issues with Egypt. Last time they had a Christmas meaning, they have this, that. Even today, the Portfolio Committee has not actually managed to go to Egypt. And therefore, as we finalize our proposal to National Chair, we are going to exclude Egypt, and they will submit. Our first preference would be Brazil, and the second option will be Kenya, but Kenya, as far as South Africans, we are much advanced to Kenya in other aspects that we were trying to go and learn, particularly on addressing the issue of informal settlement and dealing with the formalization of informal settlement as a world program, and ourselves we are much more advanced with Kenya. So the first option would be Egypt, and the second the first option will be Brazil. The second option will be Kenya, and then we will remove the Egypt because of the technicality problems that is experienced even by other committees. So those are the issues, members. Thank you, Chair.
Hello, Nancy, then call you, sir.
I just want to check the chair if perhaps she wants to get a view from us on the choices that she's putting to us.
Chair, we're not presenting a choice. What we are saying is that we have made three research on these three countries. But our first preference in terms of the evaluation of the research itself, we feel Brazil will be the first option. The second option would be if, like Parliament says, will not afford Brazil, but you can afford Kenya, we can take it.
Thank you, Felisa.
Hello, Chairperson. I was going to ask Mercy Menya, because she indicated that there will be only 5 members will be allowed to be approved. So if I can ask you, please.
People are making a noise.
They are selling 10 rand, 10 rand. Ms. Minya, I think what Kolisa is saying, please make us aware that we are only allocated for 5 members. So we should take note of that. I think we will discuss with the chairperson that one. Thank you, Kolisa. Can I close the meeting?
Thank you, Chair.
Acting Chair, Viva.
Viva, Sustenance. Viva, members. Viva, everyone. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Kolisa. You assisted in taking us through.
Thank you for appointing.
Thank you, Research. Yeah, thank you. thank you, Fighters. sure, Mr. Mguni.
Okay, Chair.